Hello, and welcome back to Morse Watch. A flurry of posts. We never expected anything like this. Since we've started just about 10 days ago, there have been... This is our 8th podcast. So, we have a very special guest in the studio tonight. Normally, he's the one that calls us on the phone all the time, and we put him on the air reluctantly, and... He's here in the studio with us tonight. Please welcome Sam Rosenbaum.
You know, I'm usually beating down your door, hoping to get on the podcast, and to be here in the studio tonight is really a special treat for me. Indeed. It's just a pleasure to be here.
Jones?
That's better than the usual treat that I get.
Okay. I have to think about that response. Let's get started. And I think we know who's reading tonight.
Ruben.
Take it away, Ruben.
Tonight's post is entitled, "This is so high school."
Exclamation point.
Exclamation point. After catching a 1:40 a.m. bus out of Norwich that allowed me to sleep quite nicely thanks to National Express's reclining seats, I found myself in London at 5:30 a.m. last Sunday. I was poised to become a superstar. Superstar is capitalized. When I arrived on set, all I noticed was the cliquishness of the extras. I like to think of myself as cool slash doesn't take shit, but treats people with respect type. I'm sorry, I may have read that wrong because I guess that entire sentence was supposed to describe Morris as a particular type.
Do you want to go at it again?
Okay. I like to think of myself as cool slash doesn't take shit, but treats people with respect type.
Should have said as the...
Well, cool. I mean, I can only read what I have in front of me, if that's what Morse wrote...
There must be a reason for it.
Okay. No, I'm sure he omitted the for a reason.
We'll have to analyze that.
Right.
Grammar.
Okay. Luckily, I found Mark, with a C, not a K. Uh-huh. He rocks London 5 nights per week with his cover band, The Lizard Kings. The Lizard Kings is linked, I'm sure we'll return to that later. And Rory, a burnt-out econometrics guy from the business sector, determining what financial job he'll take next. Within an hour, we were the three musketeers, committed to taking long smoking breaks, because we literally had to stand around for hours waiting for women to get their hair done once we were in costume, eating grotesque amounts of bacon slash eggs slash sausage, and making fun of everyone else around us.
Not even halfway through the post. God, it's so long when you read them, Sam.
It's a long one. There was one woman, whose name I will not mention, who I was informed was a former Page 3 model.
Was that quotation marks that you were expressing?
I was using air quotes with my fingers and also trying to express the air quotes with my intonation. And there's a link to Page 3 model. I didn't know what that was at the time, but I knew that this woman had so many damn face jobs and other surgeries gone wrong that she couldn't arouse me if she were the only woman left on Earth. Implying that some woman could arouse him, which we'll get into at some point, I'm sure. Surprisingly, the wannabe actor types weren't as dominant as one would expect. But they were still there, talking about nonsense and superficial subjects, while fantasizing how close they could get to Dustin and Emma. I assume by Dustin and Emma he means Dustin Hoffman and Emma Thompson, the two stars with whom he's been hobnobbing all day, all week, and pretty much just getting to know on a very personal basis. Anyway, I never realized how much downtime there would be as an extra. And in one day, I plowed through Philip Roth's Prague Orgy and Thomas Pynchon's Cry of Lot 49. This ain't light reading, either. We were ordered time and time again by runners and people who deserve titles no higher than 8th or 9th assistant director. Oftentimes, oftentimes is one word here, they would command, "Okay, if you are seated at table 13, we need you now," only to scream again and retract their statement 4 seconds later. Near the end of the day, I said to my new frat brothers in Chi Rho Alpha, XRA, or Chi Rho A, I guess.
X-ray?
Right. Rory and Mark with a C. I think we should make a sitcom about life as an extra. At that point, I was informed that...
You mean extras?
At that point, I was informed I was 2 years behind because Ricky Gervais had beat me to the punch. When I returned home, the first thing I did was order a copy of Extras Season 1 from Amazon.
Wow. You went to Amazon. Wow. Probably the most purchased DVD set in England. Probably sell it at supermarkets. And he went to Amazon.
Here it is. He could get it at the checkout line. But the point is...
At every convenience store. It's right there. Right next to the office. We love that shit.
The point is, he is on the cutting edge.
You could probably buy it on the subway. Probably bootleg copies being passed out underground.
You know, you assume that, but really, how many people know about Ricky Gervais and what he's doing? I feel
Ashley Jensen.
I assume that pronunciation is correct, because I have never heard the name before.
Didn't he win an Emmy for Extras? Didn't he win an American Emmy for his role? He won Best Actor in a Comedy.
An Emmy Award Extras.
I thought Morris would be up on the Emmys since, you know, that's where he's headed.
Well, if Morris has discovered this, you know, small-time talent who's maybe found some niche market in East Anglia...
He could represent Ricky Gervais.
There's a chance that Morris could maybe...
It's co-produced by the BBC.
Perhaps Morris could document Ricky Gervais's, you know, journey, his climb to the mountaintop as he attempts to reach stardom and recognition on an international level.
Indeed.
I don't know if Morris is looking for that or what, but...
No, I don't know.
He's also 46 years old. Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, he's fat, too. But of course, he makes fun of that every time on every episode.
He's actually peaching.
I don't want to go any farther because Ryan has not had a chance to jump in yet, and looks like he's itching to say something. He's been waiting for the moment. The whole time we were reading, he was just about ready to pounce.
He's dying to jump in with his 2 cents right now.
I don't want to go any further without hearing at least some of what you've been thinking in the past 10 minutes. He's formulating his thoughts.
Jim Morrison was there.
Jim Morrison?
Lizard King.
That's the name of Rory's cover band. It's probably obviously. It's probably a Doors tribute band, but we don't really... Wait, we can maybe open this link.
Is that it?
Is it Wikipedia?
Is that what you were waiting to say?
I didn't even read the...
Here's a quick description of the Lizard Kings. Born in the year that Stanley Kubrick released Space Odyssey 2001, and Jimi Hendrix rocked the world with hits such as Purple Haze, Ozzy Marc, as he would later be known, was destined to be an entertainer. Okay, there's some punctuation issues here. It's destined to be an entertainer. Yeah, actually, that's fitting. In 1970, Otmar and Katica, his Slovenian father and Croatian mother, decided to leave Ozzy's birthplace of Göppingen, Germany, and sail to the sandy shores of Australia.
Okay.
Wow. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves here.
I think we can get to more stuff later, but it's about time we went back.
I don't know how to operate this.
We went back beyond the grave with Gregory Moran.
Wise men, it took 5 Morse posts
But I finally realized that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. No, no. Yes, indeed. Morse will always cherish sausage, eggs, and bacon, i.e. food that keeps his perfectly pear shape. It's so fucking greasy. Some things never change, or do they? Our East Anglian teen smoking. Icon smoking, really. I suppose that habit may have been acquired from his once and former business associate straight from the School of General Studies / Green Line Cafe, Matthew St. Franny. I'll give you a hint. Sid seldom allowed him access to his exclusive Wheels of Brie parties. On a delightfully unrelated note, when was the last time an econometrics guy reminded you of high school? I graduated an Ivy League institution and work as an investment banker, and I still don't have the damnedest idea what the hell that pauper profession is. Yeah, I'm going to have to go ahead and disagree with you on a rather critical point as well. Morsels is a treating people with a respect type? Exhibit A. Dousing a poor innocent bouncer with a frosty beverage during senior week. Exhibit B. Hocking a juicy loogie on my very shoe while I was conversing with Wiseman Rob to my left. Exhibit C.
What?
Erroneously purporting departed Wiseman Blogsby broke a wooden chair, subsequently dumping a 40 down his oh-so-delightfully brown, bearish back.
Remember that.
On to the felines. So, this woman couldn't arouse you? If she were the only woman left on Earth? Really? Oh, funny for me. I would just call that woman Adriana. I'll take this time to extend you the congratulations on your profile reading adventures. The likes of which Fair Rubin students...
might be one of our listeners.
The likes of which Fair Rubin students will unfortunately never cumulatively achieve. AKA, they can't read. Anyway, brava on your so heavy reading, and here's to your next bastardized idea. No more extra time for me. Back to you, Wiseman.
Very nice. Okay, Morse hocked a loogie on Morse's shoe.
On my shoe.
On Greg's shoe.
That's correct.
Right.
Before he died.
Right. When I was there?
You were still alive. You were there.
I don't remember
that. It was in
that.
Your room. As
I don't
a matter
remember
of fact.
That.
It was myself, Wiseman Rubin.
Yeah.
And Robert Varg.
And he just spit on
and
his shoe.
And he got bitter because I was playing with a squishy medicine ball and I was bouncing against the wall. One of those tiny little therapeutic balls.
Why did he spit on your shoe?
He was bitter because he was trying to do work and I was, quote unquote, distracting him from greatness.
Well,
so he subsequently hocked.
I'm glad we recorded Greg's answer to those questions before he departed us and we are able to play them back now.
It's really fortunate that you were able to capture his thoughts
indeed.
On those particular issues.
We have lots of him from before he departed, but you know, we don't know when to play the certain tapes, but that seemed to work pretty well.
Ideally, you'll have an appropriate segment for each podcast. I wouldn't, you know, assume, but I would hope.
It's a lot of, I mean, we do have to filter through like thousands and thousands of entries in there from Greg, but
there are many recordings.
We go through it. I think we get them pretty close to the post that we're supposed to go with.
Yeah, yeah. I think so far you've had good success with that.
Do you think when Morse writes, "I was poised to become a superstar with a capital S," that he's, like, referring to the movie Superstar because it's capital? Or is it just, like, Superstar, capital S?
To be honest...
Bigger than a normal superstar.
I think that's it.
The proper noun form superstar.
I think that he was... He considered what it would mean for him to be a superstar with a lowercase s, and he thought, that's not really what he's getting on the set of First Chance Harvey. He's actually, you know, stepping it up to another level. You know, a lowercase s superstar would maybe be getting paid £50 a day.
Yep.
But he's up to 86 plus another 10 or so because he's providing his own tuxedo. So he is definitely approaching capital S superstardom.
I think so.
I think it's appropriate for him to have used that.
So no movie reference, you don't think?
Probably not, because I believe that the movie Superstar would just be a little below him, knowing his...
It was an SNL movie.
Right.
He wouldn't have greenlit that ever.
No, no. I mean, he probably would have agreed to be part of it if he needed some money, but beyond that, I don't think it's really within his realm.
No.
No.
Ryan, you agree? Let's click that page 3 model link. We didn't do that yet, did we?
No, I don't think so.
And it's a Wikipedia link.
Oh, you know, it's very comforting. It's like apple pie to know that you're getting a Wikipedia link
when
from
it's
Morse.
When a link of his is not to Wikipedia, a little piece of me dies.
You feel lost.
So what we have here is, okay, the link is to page 3 girl, and the text says here, a page 3 girl is a topless female model whose photographs are published on the third page of the Sun newspaper, I suppose, hence page 3.
And then, and the first link in that sentence is topless, which takes us to, wow.
The first photo we see is definitely a National Geographic photo
of a topless Ethiopian woman.
An Ethiopian tribeswoman with no qualms about bearing her breasts.
The next picture is breasts, not bombs. How
wait,
is this allowed on
wait,
Wikipedia?
Wait, go back. Go back. The third photo is definitely, yes, woman sunbathing topless on a beach in Barcelona, Spain. I have personal experience with this. Not with that particular photo.
Yeah, with those
photo.
People in there?
I have to say.
What's her name?
Well, that's Anna, and next to her is Graciela.
So you do have personal experience.
It was only a few months, but it was special.
You got to know some people.
Yeah.
I understand.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, glad we took the second step onto the toplessness Wikipedia entry.
Okay, so we've also confirmed that the Lizard Kings is a valid link going directly to their website. Not Wikipedia, which is a change of pace for Morse, but... I suppose it's a step in the right direction to kind of cut out the middleman.
Upon doing some investigative reporting on Facebook,
yeah.
I find out via the news feed that one Stephen Sidney Morsels, as he's so aptly referred to on Facebook, attended a JSOC movie night tonight, The Counterfeiters.
Wow.
Sin City, Norwich's newly renovated art house cinema, is showing The Counterfeiters, a wartime thriller about a largely unknown area of Second World War German history. Thursday, November 1st. That doesn't even make sense. A week ago, yet it posts today.
Well,
stranger things have happened.
I think, I don't know what that tells us at all. Thought I did.
November 9th newsfeed, however, the date was November 1st.
Well,
it's
that was absurd.
Awkward.
It's possible that he could have confirmed his attendance at the event without actually being
there. He attended.
This is one of the cases where the recording we have of Greg was not played at the right time.
Well,
that
yeah.
did not fit
we
with tonight's podcast.
I mean, I'm not a regular, you know, guest in studio or anything, but I feel like those comments from Greg Beyond the Grave have to be vetted properly. You can't just throw those out at random intervals.
Well,
so,
you know, we have people. They must have messed up tonight.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of Greg recordings played tonight, and you know, we don't think that far.
Heads are gonna roll. Heads are gonna roll.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yep. Okay. Is there anything else in here?
Well, I just have to wonder what's going on with Mark and Rory, and you know, Cairo Alpha. Could that be the title of a forthcoming sitcom about extras?
I think it could. Although, if Morse, you know, realizes he's not going to break into the half-hour sitcom model with this story, it could become a one-hour drama. Which I think would probably reflect the hardships Morse is going through when he writes, I never realized how much downtime there would be as an extra. Morse and downtime do not mix.
That is certainly...
I've really never seen him doing nothing. Ever. I don't think.
It's ripe fodder for drama.
He might explode if he was sitting somewhere doing nothing. He might explode.
I would say that he certainly has plenty of material from which to draw for a drama, because he's not going to get a lot of comedy out of sitting around doing nothing. That's not his oeuvre.
That's not funny at all. It's tragic.
No, it's... Yeah, I can't think of anything more sad for Morse than sitting around doing nothing, reading books,
especially
making trouble.
Especially when one of the things that he was always looking for in an ideal job was something that you're not ashamed of doing, or that you feel like you're doing something important or whatever, you know.
You'd have to think he's not 100% pleased with his job as far as what he gets to tell other people, because you have to assume that a major consideration for him is how other people view his job. And if he has to say, you know, I'm reading books, I don't get to do that much, it's pretty boring, I'm in costume, but I spend a lot of my time waiting off camera, none of that is going to be very sexy in terms of appealing to men or women that he might meet at the bar.
Indeed.
Or pub, I suppose. Yeah.
I don't envy him.
He's really got he's got a tough road to hoe out there.
Indeed. Let's hear what Ryan has to say.
Yeah, let's go to Ryan for this.
Stop snorting.
I think he can probably time us. He knows that when we're not talking, we probably have a computer shoved in his face. Well, I wonder if the podcast was able to capture the sounds of Ryan snoring rhythmically throughout most of the discussion here.
I hope so. It was a nice background.
It certainly kept me mellowed out on an even keel while we discussed this.
Okay. Well, I think that's enough for tonight. We'll have our... We'll have Ruben and Ryan back with us next time. We won't have Greg back with us. He is still beyond the grave.
Yeah, barring some remarkable advances in medicine, I think we can count Greg out for the foreseeable future.
Okay. This has been Morse Watch. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.
This is Stephen Morse, reporting from the corner of 33rd and Locust.